I believe than any others, because I just love talking about Jesus. Amen. And I honestly believe that these have been some of my best sermons, and I don't say that pridefully. I just say it because when you talk about Jesus, how can you go wrong, right? And so we've been looking through the life of Christ, and I hope that you've been engaged with me in studying the life of Christ together and in turning to Scripture. And if you haven't been here, if this is your first day here, don't worry. You're at a great Sunday to be here, because this is one of my favorite encounters with Jesus Christ. In fact, I preach on this. I try to at least preach on this once a year, probably more than that. You may get tired of hearing it, but I don't ever get tired of talking about this encounter with Jesus. In fact, this encounter with Jesus has so many twists and turns and subpoints in it, but there's going to be a lot of questions that's going to raise up in your heart. You're going to have a lot of internal struggle like I do, and you know what? That's okay. I don't presume to answer all your questions today. I want to show you Christ today. And I want him to just begin to work in your heart today, and we're going to just encounter him and just to embrace and what he has in store for us. So we're going to look at this story, and what I want to do is set up this clip that we're going to watch together. This is encountering Christ right after he feeds the 5,000, and he has a wonderful church service, so to speak. I mean, just an amazing church service. And the people are crowding around him. In fact, they start asking him to become their king, their Messiah. And Jesus kind of pulls back with his disciples. In fact, he tells his disciples to get in the boat and cross the lake. He'll be with them shortly. And it's at that moment that we start struggling with something, because it's not the commandment to go. It's what the disciples encounter when they're following through with the commandment to go. So I want you to watch this clip together, and we'll experience Christ.
Why did he walk away just when we're getting strong? Surely a Messiah wouldn't leave us like this. A Messiah should be a warrior, a conqueror like David.
Judas, force is not the way.
So tell me what the way of Messiah is.
He's different.
But Mary, what if he's not the one? We're risking our lives for what?
He has shown us his power. We must have faith in him.
Come on.
He'll not fail us.
He said he'd meet us on the other side. Let's go!
Down! strong.
Jesus says this in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, though, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. I love that story, and it's easy to talk about how Jesus was walking on water in the midst of a storm. How there's nothing in this life, nothing here on this world that can overcome Christ. Christ stands above it all. Amen? Christ can even walk on storms. Christ can even walk on wars and famines. Christ can walk on issues that we just drown in, don't we? Christ can walk on top of those things to reach us. But here's the struggle we have. I would love to tell you that Christ says, here on this earth, you'll have peace because of me. I mean, isn't that what we pray for? World peace, right? World peace. I mean, that's the question that people ask. Can there really be world peace? That's what we strive here. But Jesus just gives us an astonishing statement. Here on this earth, you'll have storms. You'll have trials. You'll have sorrows. It's amazing that I'm preaching this sermon in the middle of a storm, so to speak. We're going to have storms, not just physically, but internally and emotionally, spiritually. We're going to have storms. The promise is that you won't have storms because he says you'll have storms on earth, but you can have peace. Where? In Christ. You can have peace in Christ, even though there's storms on earth. That's hard. That's difficult because that's not really what we're after. We're wanting for everything to be settled and issues solved and resolved and walk through this life as easy as possible because none of us like worry. None of us like the internal struggles that we have. In fact, Jesus, he tells us in the midst of this, okay, you're going to have storms on this earth. You're going to have trials. You're going to have want. You're going to have all those things. You know what he tells us? He doesn't tell us, oh yeah, and when you face those things, just struggle through it. You know what he tells us in the midst of that? He says in Matthew chapter 25, therefore I tell you, don't worry. Are you kidding, Jesus? You're telling us we're going to have storms, and then you tell us, oh, don't worry. Don't worry about your life. That covers it all, by the way, doesn't it? Don't worry about life. Not just what car you're going to drive or if your kids end up with the right teacher or if you've got the right spot. Don't worry about life. Don't worry about life. But Jesus, you said we're going to have storms and trials. That's right. But don't worry. Don't worry. And then he says this audacious claim at the end of that passage there, is not life more than? And he talks about, isn't it more than what you wear? Isn't it more than what you eat? Isn't it more than just the storms? Now, don't miss that, because you could read through that and you could like, well, no, it's not, because that's what my life consists of. My life consists of if my neighbor's okay with me, or if I've got the right situation going on, if I'm at the right job place, or if my kids are okay, then I'm okay, or if my spouse is okay, I'm okay. And Jesus is saying, isn't life more than just those things? That's the question. Let it sink in for a second. Isn't life more than just a little fragile piece that you think you can hold together by just things going your way? Isn't life more than that? No, the world would tell you, no, it's not. Because you need to get all the money you can, you need to get all the popularity you can, you need to get all the worldly peace that you can and settle for that. But Jesus makes this audacious claim that life is more than just fragile peace around you. So he says, don't worry. Don't worry about those things. He later goes on to say in Matthew 6:33, seek first what? His kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. He tells us there is something more than your fragile peace. You know what that is? It's his plan for your life. It's his purpose for you. His purpose for you. And I love this story, but and honestly, I struggle with this story that we're looking at today. Because who told them to get in the boat and cross the lake? Who told them to do that? Jesus did. Well, if Jesus knows all things and is all powerful, didn't he know that a storm would come up? That's difficult. It's difficult. It's easy to read in a story, but what about when the storm hits home for you? You guys know me. I've shared this before, but I have to share it again today. When Eli, my oldest son, he was around 3 months old. Ever since he was born, he had problems digesting, and it just really started getting worse. And around 3 months old, he started just projectile vomiting. Everything that he would feed him, 30 minutes later, it wouldn't just come out of his mouth. It would be projectile vomited out. I don't mean to disgust you, but that's just the way it was. I mean, it was difficult. And you're looking at your son, and he would constantly cry and whine because of the pain that he was having. And you know what was hard? I didn't have the answer. We took him to the doctors, and they didn't really know why. They kept changing his formula, and maybe he's lactose intolerant. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Nothing, 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 nothing. He got worse and worse and worse. Till one day, he just constantly, every time we fed him, it would just come up immediately. And we looked at each other, and we're like, something has to be done. We took him to the doctor. And I remember looking at the doctor's face when he was wanting to prescribe another acid reflux medicine for my son. And I say, no, listen to me. There's something more going on here. Something more going on here. And he said, okay. He said, all right, we're going to schedule a test where they x-ray him after we fed him and see what's going on. And sure enough, we went there. And Jennifer was at work. I was taking him there to this because I thought that this was going to come back negative. In fact, she asked me if she needed to come. I said, no, it's probably going to be no big deal. Don't worry about it. Everything will come back clear because that's what's supposed to happen, isn't it? That's not what happened. It didn't come back clear. They did the test. I'm sitting there with my three-month-old boy. The doctor comes back out, and I'm waiting for the news. Oh, everything's clear. It's probably just something he's going to grow out, but that's not what he says. He says a word that I have never heard before. He says, your son has pyloric stenosis. And I said, what is that, and what does that mean? He says it's a birth defect, so to speak, where his internal organs, his digestive system, the valve in between his large intestines and his stomach is not developed right, and it's not letting food pass through, and it's starting to close off even more probably as he gets older, and it's really serious. I said, how serious? He told me the truth. He said, if we don't do something about this, your son will starve to death even though you're feeding him. And I said, okay, what do we need to do? He said, we're going to have surgery. And I said, okay, well, I'm thinking in my head of schedules and things, how this works out. And he says, no, sir, we're going to be having surgery today. He said, you don't understand how serious this is. He's already at the point where something has to be done now. And I remember calling her up and saying, telling her about this, and she's just overwhelmed as I am, and she's like, it's kind of quiet on the other end of the phone, and she's like, what do I need to do? I said, you need to leave work and go to Baptist South. That's where they're taking us. We literally got in our car. I left straight from the doctor's office right immediately to the hospital, and I wish I could tell you that everything worked out fine. The surgery went okay, but an infection came in, and little Eli got worse and worse and worse. To one point, I walked into the hospital room, and I still feel it, even though I can see the mental image. I walked into the hospital room because they were having to stick so many IVs day after day in my little boy to where they couldn't find a good enough vein anymore because they had used them all up in his arms and feet. They had to stick the IV in his head. I walked in the room, and I saw my little son like this with a needle stuck in his head. And I lost it. I just lost it. I told her, I said, I got to go. And I went into the nearest chapel room that I could find. And I wish I could tell you that, oh, I just encountered God's peace at that moment. But that's not what happened at that moment. You know what happened at that moment? There was a storm raging in that little room. And I don't know if anybody was walking down the hallway, but they heard me tell God a few things. They heard me question God. They heard me cry out and say, God, I've tried to serve you. I've tried to give my life to you. I was having my pity party, so to speak, there, and telling others I've declined job offers where I could have made tons of money to follow after your will, and this is what I get in return of it. Have you ever faced a situation like that? It's where God says to go, and you don't go into the sunrise or sunset, you go into the midst of the storm, don't you? You go into the midst of the storm. And the questions start stirring in my heart. Is there something more than what this is right here? Is not life more than just my fragile little piece? Because it's easy to serve God when everything is falling into place. But isn't life more? Isn't life more than just my fragile piece held together? Isn't life more? I'd love to tell you the rest of the story. Eventually, God did heal Eli completely of those infections. And from as far as we know, he doesn't have any more problems with this issue. Praise God for that. Amen? But at that moment, it didn't look good. It didn't look good at all. I didn't know if he was going to be saved from digestive problems and die of an infection. Because that's what it looked like at that moment. And I was faced with the question in that little chaplain room of the hospital. What am I going to be willing to lose for God's purpose? You're going to say, well, that's a tough question. It is a tough question. Because the promise isn't that everything is comfortable. The promise is that you'll have peace in Christ when everything is not comfortable. Now don't miss that. Because listen to me, the devil would love for you to trade your potential for your comfortable. He would love for you to trade your potential of experiencing Christ and proclaiming his purpose to others for the comfort that this world would try to offer you. And guys, I know we live in a great country. We're blessed. I know we are. But listen to me, I wonder if our riches are actually a curse. You know why? Because the Church of America is losing its potential. Because we've settled for the comfortable. Right? There's something about storms. Storms bring a lot of clarity. I know they bring problems, they bring issues, they bring questions, but they also bring a lot of clarity, because it was in the tear-filled eyes that I was having in that little chaplain room that God began to speak into my life, and I began to see that life really is more than just what I thought it was all about. Storms bring a lot of clarity. You see, when you come out of a storm, you won't be the same person that you walked into the storm. In fact, that's what the storm is all about. God uses storms to make us, not break us. God uses storms to make us, not break us. But it doesn't feel that way, does it? In fact, even though I'm talking about external issues, there could be a storm raging inside of you. You're struggling with something God has asked you to do, and you've been doing it for a while. And there's an internal storm going on inside of you. I want to give you a quote I read out of a book. I'm not going to tell you the book I read, because you'll think that I've endorsed a book and you'll go out and read it. And I don't want you to read this book. But I want you to listen. I want you to listen to what is said here. Listen to this, because this guy, he's talking about an internal storm going on. He says, sometimes fate is like a small sandstorm that keeps changing directions. You change direction, but the sandstorm changes directions. You turn, but the storm adjusts. Over and over, you play this out, like some ominous dance with death just before dawn. Why? Because this storm isn't something that has nothing to do with you. This storm is you. Something inside of you. So all you can do is give into it. Step right into the storm, closing your eyes and plugging up your ears so that the sand doesn't get in, and walk through it step by step. There's no sun, there's no moon, there's no direction, there's no sense of time. Just fine white sand swirling up into the sky and pulverizing your bones. Now, I'll tell you the gist of what's going on here with this book. This guy's struggling with an issue that he is doing, he knows he needs to stop doing. And some of you are in the same place. Your storm not necessarily is outside. Your storm is inside. And it's going on right now. And the storm is not going to be satisfied with just what your little plans worked out and being okay with, because there's still going to be something wrong inside of your heart, and you'll struggle. So for the next 10 minutes, honestly, let's go to this passage, Matthew chapter 14, and let's look at this story together in detail. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33. And we're going to see exactly what Christ may be up for in your life, not just for Peter this day. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up to the hill by himself to pray. Night fell when he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. And some of you are in that spot right now. You think Christ has left you, you're fighting heavy waves, you're facing difficult situations, and I understand, I know what that feels like. Verse 25, about 3 o'clock in the morning, this is the watch night hour, when most people either give up hope or press in. And some of you are at the watch night hour right now. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning in your life. You can either give up, settle for comfortable, make the most, make the best out of the situations, and give up God's plan for you, or you can push in and encounter Christ right now. Which one are you going to be? About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in fear. They cried out, "It's a ghost." Now, before you blame them, I would probably do the same thing. Now, this word here, the best translation is not like ghost, like you see Casper, the friendly ghost. This is not what it's talking about, right? This is like specter. It means that something that's this, is that real or not? Is that a real image or not? So they were saying, is that real or not? Now listen to me. Here's what the devil would love to tell you. That the things that you're hearing right now, the spiritual prodding in your life, the devil would tell you that's just a ghost. That's not really real. Wouldn't he? He would try to convince you that that's just the foolish preacher up there preaching. That's just a sermon today. That's just worship today. This is just church. Let's just go home and let's forget all about this and just settle for your comfortable life. But Jesus has come to you this morning and he's the real deal. Amen. And he is speaking something into your heart right now. Don't miss what he is saying. It's not a ghost. Verse 27. But Jesus spoke to them at once saying, "Don't be afraid." That's what he's saying to you. Take courage, I am here. I love how the original translation says this. It doesn't put the word here there. It says, don't be afraid. Take courage, I am. I am. I am enough for you. And that's the thing that I had to settle in my heart. Crying out in that room in the hospital that day. Oh God, even if I lose my son, you're still enough for me. We don't like to think that thought. But if he is not enough, if he is not enough when I lose my son, then what hope would there be? Do you hear me? Do you hear me? I am for you. Here's Peter's response. So Peter called to him, "Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Now listen to me. Peter didn't just step out of the boat. Some of you have stepped out of a boat in the midst of a storm Jesus said not to go to. Some of you are in situations and you're blaming God, and God said, "I had nothing to do with that. I didn't tell you to take those steps. I didn't tell you to take that step. I didn't tell you to get in that relationship. I didn't tell you to take that job." And sometimes we just rush into the middle of something, don't we? And then we say, "Oh God, bail me out." Don't we do that? Amen? Is that just me? Come on, somebody. But Jesus, if that's you, command me to come to you. Because if you command me to come, it doesn't matter if there's waves or if I have to walk on water to get there. Amen? That same command that spoke the world into existence out of nothing. Even scientists have to agree. In the beginning, there was nothing. See, God doesn't have to have something to work with. Amen? He can make something out of nothing, right? My goodness. Tell me to come to you. Command me to come to you, walking on the water. Jesus says, yes, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. I would be the same situation, to be honest with you. And I love the compassion of Christ. He doesn't rebuke them and let him drown, even though Peter deserved to drown in his situation. Verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. The disciples worshipped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. A few things right now. Storms bring clarity. Why? Because Jesus is in the storm, and Jesus reveals his power in the storm, doesn't he? It's not when everything's going right. It's when everything's going wrong that Jesus reveals his power. Isn't that true? Come on. I mean, when everything's going right, it's easier for man to take credit for it, right? But when they look at the impossible situation and they see the possible happening in the midst of impossible, Jesus gets glory for that. Jesus reveals his power in the storm. So don't lose heart. That's where Jesus shows up the most. Amen? Don't lose heart. Oh, preacher, I'm in a rough storm. Don't lose heart. That's where Jesus shows up the most. Oh, this is a rough situation. Some people tell me Italic is just a drug town. It's little Miami. It's just, there's no hope. There's a church on every corner. It's just religious and sinful all at the same time. There's no hope for Italic, Atlantic, this real town area. I say, oh, that's where Jesus shows up the most. That's where Jesus shows up the most. He loves to show up in a hopeless situation and reveal his power. Storms bring clarity because Christ is there and Jesus reveals our potential in the storm. Jesus had no idea he could walk on water. Peter. Peter had no idea he could walk on water. It's a big difference there. Peter had no idea he could walk on water. He had no idea. He'd not taken walking on water 101. There was no training class for this. He didn't know what was really in him. And it was in the midst of a storm that Peter found his potential. I'll say, well, Peter ended up failing and falling into the water. Well, you know what? At least he got out of the boat, right? You don't know your potential until you find a storm. And lastly, storms bring clarity because Christ is in the storm and Jesus reveals his promise in the storm. What's the promise? He'll never leave you or forsake you. What if I fall? He'll catch you. How can you say that? His promise. His promise. His promise. Listen to me. Why in the world do you believe a devil who has not kept one promise over a God who never breaks a promise? Why do you do that? Why do I do that? Why is it so easy to believe a devil who has never kept his word over a God who never breaks his word? Come on, believe God and his promise. What? If I step out of the boat, things might fall apart, situations might happen, yes, but Jesus will be there. He'll be there. Listen to me. Sometimes Jesus lets you run out of stuff so you will call out to the source, doesn't he? Sometimes he'll let you fall. Sometimes he'll let you falter a little bit. Why? So you'll call out to Jesus. What did Peter do when he was sinking in the water? Jesus, help me. That's the best thing he could have done. You know what he didn't do? He didn't say, oh, let me try to do it myself first, Jesus. Some of you are trying to do that this morning. Some of you are saying, well, I've still got plan B, C, and D before I turn to Christ. Don't do that. You'll just spend longer time in the water. Amen? Cry out to Jesus. Realize that you've run out of stuff. You've run out of resources so that you will turn to the source of life. Amen? Three things in closing. As I'm closing again for the third time. It's like the resurrection. He just keeps coming out, right? Number one, here's what I want you to do. I need you to know that he is here. I need you to know that. Listen to me. I need you to know that. God needs you to know that. In the midst of my crying and brokenness in that hospital room, the thing that I needed the most was to know that Jesus was there. You need to know that. You need to know he's here. He's here. It's not a ghost. It's not a specter. It's not a lie. It's true, and he's here for you. Come on, you got to believe that. Jesus spoke to them. I once said, don't be afraid. He said, take courage. I am. I am here. The I am is here for your life. I need you to know that. Number two, I need you to take a step. It comes down to it, guys. In our lives, we've got to be willing to take a step, don't we? God has a next step for your life. Now listen to me. I don't know what that is for you. For each and every person in this room here this morning, your step may be different than your neighbor's. But you have a step to take. You do. You have a step to take. Peter called out to the Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on water. Yes, come, Jesus said. Why don't you do that right now? Why don't you right now. I don't mean later. I mean right now. Close your eyes. And I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, if you're really here, tell me what step I need to take right now. This isn't up for options right now for you. Ask him, what step do I need to take? What step this morning, right now? You know, some of you, it's to start turning back towards your wife or your husband and stop being bitter at them. Some of you, it's time to start praying with your children. You haven't been doing that. Some of you, it's time to really surrender your real heart to the Lord. You've been giving God weekend visits, and he wants full custody. Right now, what is that step for you? Then why don't you pray this audacious prayer with me? Lord, if you really did say that, command me to take that step. Do that right now. Lord, if you really said that, command me to take that step, because it doesn't matter what opposition is out there. If you command me to take that step, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You believe that? Amen. Amen. All right, we all took that step together. And here's the third one. I need you to worship Christ. What did the disciples do after this wonderful encounter? When they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped, the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. You know, this community, this world, your family, your children, you know what they need to see? They need to see us worshiping Christ, who will not forsake us in storms, who will find us there. So we're going to do that right now, because God intends for storms to make you, not break you. God intends for storms to make you, not break you. Make you what? A worshiper of his. A true worship. That doesn't worship with mouth and forget the heart, but worships in spirit and truth. Why don't you stand on your feet right now with me? We're going to sing this song together in worship to the King. And I want it to be your response to Jesus showing up in your life right now. In fact, Father God, just begin to move in our hearts right now. Don't let us miss this opportunity. In Jesus' name, we worship you this morning with our lives by taking a step. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's sing this together. Thank you. in that hospital room that day, I came to the end of myself. And at that moment, I found Christ. I found Christ had a promise and Christ had a purpose. See, God was up to something bigger than just working in my son's life. He was working in my heart too. And some of you are in the midst of that right now. You've been praying for God to stop the storm, but he's up to something bigger. He's up to something bigger because he intends for the storms to make you, not break you. Say, what do you mean by that? It was at that day, at that moment, that I found out that I could lose everything but yet have Christ and still have enough. I walked out of that hospital room not just with a boy who God touched, but with a heart, a man who found that when I went to the cross, that life was more than just my little fragile piece held together. It was at that moment that God gave me the heart to walk in this ministry that I'm walking in right now. Because he intended for the storm to make me, not break me. My wife knows I love this story. And this past year on my birthday, I was walking through one of the Christian bookstores and I found a painting that I loved portraying this story, part of this story. And I've seen many paintings of Jesus walking on the water. But this one really spoke to me. She knew I loved this, so it was expensive. I was like, no, that's too expensive. I'm a tightwad. So we went home. And we went home, and she went back and bought this painting. It hangs up in my office, but I wanted to show it to all of you here this morning. This is not Jesus walking on the sand. This is Jesus walking on the water. And you would say, well, why is that painting of that mean so much to you? You know why? Because you can't see it in this painting, but I'm just back here following Christ. And I said, God, go. And I'll follow. Why? Because is not life more than just my little comforts of the boat? Isn't it? Isn't it? It's time to step out of the boat. You need to be here tonight at 5 o'clock. I'm going to tell you what to do with that. Because we're going to step out on this water with Christ, if you'll join me, and we're going to walk and see what God does. Let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you so much for what you've done here this morning. I ask God that you would just begin to burn in hearts right now. That storms come, but in you, Christ, we can have peace. I pray, Lord, that you would bring people to that step. Don't let them miss that and forget that step that you've spoken to their hearts. And if you have not yet, God, speak it right now into their hearts so that when they go here, they'll obey you. I thank you, God, for this wonderful time this morning. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus, for showing up in this place. You've been amazing. We love you. It's all about you. God, I can't wait to see, God, what's going to happen in our hearts and lives. We just give you praise for this. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Love